By our nature, most of us are trusting. It's that basic instinct that scam artists love to prey on. And the elderly are especially vulnerable. AARP Vermont recently conducted a survey of 800 adults of all ages in the state to see how Vermonters are being targeted in scams. We asked Greg Marshaldon, AARP Vermont State Director, to share those results and to explain how prevalent the problem of scamming is.
We're seeing a lot of scams perpetrated on Vermonters, and we're seeing it really, across the spectrum. You know, when we AARP started looking at these issues in the mid-1990s, most fraud was coming to us through our mailbox and our telephone. It still comes that way. But with the advent of the internet, and now we're talking with most everybody having some kind of a smartphone or some kind of a laptop or some kind of a computer in their own homes, you combine that with the kind of fraud that we're seeing on the internet, and it's just coming at people from everywhere. And it's important for your listeners to know that these are very, very sophisticated criminals. And there's a reason why this is about a $12 to $18 billion a year crime in this country. And one of the reasons why it is that is because these criminals really know what they're doing.
And when you talk about scammers, are you just talking about people who are able to skim off information on a big group of consumers and gather all their data? Or are you seeing people one-on-one targeting people to try to get their personal information?
Right. So we're seeing a lot. We're seeing a considerable amount of both and a number of things in between. So people are familiar with the breaches that have happened recently, the Target breach, which was millions and millions of people's personal information. There's been some with some big health insurance companies recently. Even the IRS was breached. But we're also seeing something very prevalent here in Vermont, what we call the imposter scams or the grandparent scams. And these are very much a one-on-one scam where a person essentially presents himself or herself as someone that they are not. And the scam generally runs like this. On the grandparent scam, somebody is hacked into somebody's email, so they have their address book. They get an email from somebody. They know the name of the person. It's their friend. It's their, or in this case, it's their grandson who said, look, I'm in Montreal. I've gotten a little bit of trouble with the law, but if you just send me $3,000, I can get myself out of this. Please don't tell mom and dad, right? And what grandparent is not going to want to come to the aid of their grandchild in a real time of trouble?
Tell me about some of the other scams that people reported either being involved in themselves or knowing friends who were taken in.
Well, we've heard a lot about the IRS scam this year. Obviously, we're not far past tax time. I actually got two calls on it myself in my own home and that's just sort of a fear and intimidation kind of a tactic that they use, which is the IRS is after you and you owe back money. And if you don't send $3,000 to this address right now, we're going to repossess your home. We're going to come take your car. And you have to think that these people are just blowing out these calls by the tens of thousands, right? And so that they've just hit it a few times, that's a good day's work. So in Vermont, that was the number one reported scam that came into the AG's office this year. And amongst our membership, more than 20% said that they had received that call, but had received it in person, not just a voicemail. The grandparents scam, we're seeing a lot of, I've just talked about that. Sweepstakes scams are also big. 36% of Vermonters say that they have come across that one, whether it's come across their computer or their telephone. A couple of other ones, phony payday loans, Craigslist and classified scams are also very big. That's another one of those one-on-one scams.
You mentioned sweepstakes scams, and it sounds like there's a specific one that people are getting called on, which is a Jamaican lottery scam.
The Jamaican lottery scam came to AARP's attention about 3 years ago from folks at Fairpoint. Frankly, this was a new lottery scam that had been specifically targeting northern New England. So just Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont is where this began. So I'll set the picture for you. You've got someone who is calling you and telling you you've won the Jamaican lottery. And usually what the scam is that, look, you've won $500,000. And all you need to do is send us $3,800 for the taxes and $1,500 for processing fees and another $500 for this, and then we'll release the money. Well, who doesn't want to win $500,000, right? One of the things we know from a lot of interviews that we've conducted with con artists that have been thrown in jail, so we've had some ARPs, had some real benefit of getting into the mind of a con artist, is that the ultimate goal is to get people into what they call the ether, which is a heightened state of awareness. And if you can get them there, all the brain research shows that that part of your brain overwhelms the part of your brain that does processing and logic. And so, you know, because who would just send $3,000 to someone that they've never met before?
Right.
But if I'm an older Vermonter, I'm isolated, I'm living alone, or I've had some kind of a negative financial impact to me, there's been an illness or a death in the family where, you know, I'm not feeling so good. When people are vulnerable and people are stressed, this kind of thing lifts them out of that, right? And then the imagination and the ether take over, and then logic gets really put aside. The horrible thing about the Jamaican lottery scam, and I do want to tell your listeners one very important thing about lotteries, you cannot win them unless you are in the country. So if somebody calls and tells you that you won the Jamaican lottery and you aren't in Montego Bay, you definitely didn't win the Jamaican lottery. But
right.
This isn't a fear and intimidation tactic that they use. What they do is you can almost visualize it. They're sitting on the beach in Negril, and they've got a laptop in front of them, and they're using Google Earth, and they're using Street View. And they'll say to people, if you don't send that $3,000, I'm looking at your house right now. That's the White House with the blue picket fence and the Toyota out front. We're going to come burn that thing down if you don't. And So
there are a couple steps. It's not just you've won the money, send us,
If you don't
advance.
Send the money, they're going to come back at you and using fear and intimidation. And that's the thing that was most scary about the Jamaican lottery scam.
Greg, you've said that for the most part, you know, these scams are happening online. People are getting emails or they're getting phone calls. Are there any scams that are still happening door to door that people will approach you in person?
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that we've heard a lot about anecdotally here, and it didn't come up in our survey, but it's called sort of home repair fraud. We hear a lot of it from our members who feel like they've been bilked or have been bilked. Vermont has some very strong consumer protection laws on the books to prevent that from happening. What we always tell our members is if somebody comes up to your house and tells you that your vinyl siding isn't any good, you should just tell them that, you know, you'll have that independently checked out. If you didn't wake up in the morning knowing that your vinyl siding was a problem, it probably isn't. We're seeing a little less door-to-door than we have in the past because the internet is just so you can expand your universe. Maybe a door-to-door scammer could hit 100 houses in a day, and on the internet, you know, he can hit all of Vermont.
AARP is specifically interested in and advocating for seniors.
Yeah.
Are you seeing scammers specifically targeting the elderly? I mean, are they able to, with some ability, pinpoint individuals who they know are senior citizens? Or are they just using methods that are more likely to draw older people in?
It's really a little bit of both, Jane. There is legitimate profiling that is going on, but the kind of data that these large breaches can come up with, if you got a birth date, there you go. And they know that the elderly grew up at a time when there were just landlines, right? And we always tell our folks, you know, don't pick up the phone. If your caller ID shows a number that you don't know, don't pick it up, because if it's somebody you do know, they'll leave you a message and you can call them back. But when the engagement begins, that's when people really start to get into trouble. And these scammers know that it is that the elderly are a much richer target for them. One of the reasons is because they're home more often, particularly for retirees.
Okay, so what should people know about how to avoid these scams, how to educate themselves, and how to prevent themselves from being taken in?
Well, there's just the basic premise that we've always talked about, right? If it's too good to be true, it probably is. You know, you didn't win the Jamaican lottery unless you were in Jamaica, and you
right.
probably wouldn't win it if you were there either, because not very many people win the lottery. Part of it is when I talked to you a little bit earlier about the ether, it's like nothing is so important that it needs to be done in that moment. So hang up the phone, turn off the computer, take a step back, take a deep breath, and ask yourself, was I really in the market for a 37-foot sailboat this morning that if I just sent this guy $5,000 for, somehow it would magically appear at my home? You have to get yourself out of that heightened sense of engagement so that you can let the parts of your brain process the logic of what is really going on in a much better way. Part of the problem here is that when you get caught up in a scam, people tend to be scammed and scammed again and scammed again. We really strongly encourage people to report these scams to the Attorney General's office, to their consumer assistance program, because that's the one way we can track really what's going on here in Vermont.
Even if you're embarrassed, even if you feel humiliated.
Absolutely. It's really, and we understand that. But we know that these people that have been scammed don't want this to happen to their children or their grandchildren either. When you report it, that allows organizations like AARP who work on the issue to focus on particular pieces of fraud. And we also really strongly encourage people, you know, don't engage, right? If something comes through on your email and it's got some link in it, but you're not really sure what it is, don't click the link, right? If somebody calls you and tells you that there's been an internet problem in your neighborhood, and if you just give them your ISP address where they can get inside of your computer, don't engage, because the second the engagement begins, it's a very, very steep and slippery slope.
So if you get somebody who says, I need to fix your internet, say, hang up, and then go call your internet provider with the phone number on your bill and ask them if they're doing that. If your bank calls, don't give the information, hang up, go call your bank on the 1-800 number on your card or on your statement and ask them, because they'll never ask you for your personal identifying information.
Ever. Be a proactive person. You know, if you want to buy a sweater on the internet, go buy a sweater on the internet, but don't click the link that's coming into you that says if you buy the sweater, we're going to send you three more of them for free, because you may be clicking a link that's going to drop some worm inside of your computer, and then, you know, some significant problems can occur.
And finally, for people who have found themselves the victim of a scam, sadly, recovering any money that they lost is usually not possible, right?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, of all the financial crimes that are perpetrated on people in general, and particularly the elderly, I mean, we see this as an economic security issue in Vermont. We have 7 in 10 of our seniors, retirees, live on Social Security and no more than that. They may have a little bit stuck away in savings, but if they lose $5,000, $10,000, or $15,000 in one of these scams, they're not going to be able to pay the rent. They're not going to be able to pay the mortgage. Then this becomes a problem for their family and people in their community. I mean, it's insidious that way. The banks are doing a much better job when people come in saying, I need a $5,000 money order. Bank tellers have been working with the AG's office over some time now, so we're trying to detect it a little bit better on the front lines. But the truth is whether you've lost $500 or $50,000 or $100,000, the chances of you ever getting a penny of that back are almost zero.
And just to go back to the one that seems so insidious, that grandparent scam where your grandchild calls or emails and says, I'm in trouble, just send money and don't tell my parents. The advice that you give to people, find another avenue. Don't use the same phone number they're calling from or the same email. And then do go to the parents, to your
daughter
or
son.
Exactly.
Well, the first thing you want to do, some of these do, as you said, come in through the phone. And then the person will say, well, you really don't sound like Jimmy.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Grandpa was in a car accident and my nose got a little bashed up, so I don't sound quite right. I mean, they've got an answer for everything here. The first thing you do is hang up the phone and call your grandson or call your kids and say, you know, Jimmy just, you know, like – Don't go right into check writing mode is what you shouldn't do, because the truth is that Jimmy's probably in his dorm room finishing up his algebra homework and
yeah, you hope.
Yeah. Or something like that, maybe.
Greg Marshaldon is AARP Vermont State Director. Thanks very much for telling us a little bit about the scams that are being perpetrated on Vermonters and particularly the elderly.
I appreciate the time. Thanks, Jen.
We've posted more information from AARP and the Attorney General's Consumer Protection Division on our website, vpr.net/Vermont Edition.